Verse 6, consider the case of Abraham. He, quote, believed God and it was credited to him as justice. This means that those who believe are sons of Abraham. Because Scripture saw in advance that God's way of justifying the Gentiles would be through faith, it foretold this good news to Abraham, all nations shall be blessed in you. Thus it is that all who believe are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Okay, now, that's verses 6 through 9, just to introduce, we're just introducing Abraham, and I want to jump back to the book of Genesis, because we'll talk about some of these things. Just like last time we jumped to Acts of the Apostles, because it was helpful. So here he's introduced several things about Abraham, that he believed God, and it was credited to him as an act of righteousness. And verse 8, all nations shall be blessed in you. We're going to do just a really quick spin over some of the things in Abraham's life, or Abram, and then later Abraham's life. Genesis 3 and 4 is filled with references to Abraham and Sarah and so forth. So let's just remind ourselves of a couple things. We're going to go back to Genesis, and we're going to start with Genesis chapter 12. The entire story of Abraham is told from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22. And if you'd like, as just further reflection after we finish today, if you'd like just reading over just Genesis 12 to Genesis 22, it's not like it's that long. It would be very easy to read. It would give you the whole story of Abraham start to finish as presented in the Old Testament. Very helpful to read through. We're going to do some highlights, especially about the parts that St. Paul mentions in Galatians. So Genesis chapter 12, we'll just begin at the beginning of verse 12. The Lord said to Abram, okay, now, this is the first time we're meeting Abram. Very first time. So here we are. Here is this man Abram. Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And then here comes the promise. I will make of you a great nation. So there's the first part of the promise. You'll be a great nation. I will bless you. There's the second part of the promise. I will make your name great. And the third part. So that you will be a blessing. And then he goes forth, I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. And then here comes this next line, all the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you. That is a significant statement. Because one of the things that predominates the Old Testament is the idea of God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jews, the Hebrews, that they had been chosen. So there are these hints throughout the Old Testament in different places that this blessing that has been given to this particular group of people, God's chosen people, those who are the descendants of Abraham, at some point, somehow, by God's plan of salvation, these blessings would be shared with all mankind. Not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Now, in the Old Testament, we were always waiting for that moment to come. It had never come. But this is one of the first times at which that promise is explicitly stated, right from the beginning of Abraham's call. So Genesis 12, 3, verse 3, all the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you. And what did Abraham have to do? Did he have to follow the law? He had to do one thing. He had to set out from his homeland to a land that the Lord would show to him. Now that is one of Abraham's acts of faith. That's an act of faith. I want you to go forth to a place you've never been before. I want you to leave behind everything that you have. When we talk about Abraham was a man of faith, that was an act of faith for him to say, to accept that revelation from God, I want you to go do this, and Abraham does it. Okay. There's Genesis 12, one of the first things that happens to him there. Then Genesis 15. This is another one of the passages that St. Paul is going to quote. And we'll start at the beginning of 15. I'm going to skip a little bit here as we go through. Verse 1, we hear about Abraham hears in a vision, fear not, I am your shield, I will make your reward great. And so then verse 2, he asks, but I'm childless, so what will happen? Verse 3, you've given me no offspring. Verse 4, the Lord then tells him, it's not your servant who will be your heir, you will have your own issue, your own son will be your heir. Verse 5, he takes him outside and shows him the stars of the sky, says this is how many descendants you will have. Verse 6, and here's the line St. Paul's going to quote. It's chapter 15, verse 6. Right after God makes his promise that you're going to have all these descendants, Abraham put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. So what was the work that Abraham did? What was it that he did? He believed. It was an act of faith. Again, another act of faith. He believed. God said it, and Abraham believed it. And because he believed it, that was an act of faith, and he was justified by it, or made righteous by it. that it was an act of righteousness. And then after that, we hear in the remainder of chapter 15 this covenant that the Lord enters into with Abraham in this sort of unusual ritual in which these various animals are cut up, and then the Lord appears as a flaming torch passing between these animals. So it's a very unusual kind of passage, but it is a solemn covenant. And what does God promise? A covenant is always this relationship or this pact. And what does God promise? God promises to Abraham, I'm going to multiply your offspring. What does Abraham do for God? He believes. That's it. There it is. That's faith. Okay, that's an act of faith. Then we move on from there, chapter 16, and here, I won't look at individual verses, I just want to remind you of the Abraham story. In Genesis 16, we hear about the birth of Ishmael. Now, Abraham's promised he's going to have a son. Sarah, who's an old woman, says, well, I don't know about this. We have a slave woman here named Hagar, why don't you just have intercourse with her, and then you'll have an heir. Okay, you'll have a son. So Sarah wasn't sure if the promise was going to come true. Was she going to be able to conceive? So that's, in fact, exactly what happens. And then what happens? Jealousy erupts. Sarah, all of a sudden, becomes jealous of Hagar and starts mistreating the slave woman Hagar. Hagar wants to run away, but God then says to Hagar, says, no, go back, submit, and I will bless you and your offspring. And the offspring of Hagar was Ishmael. Okay, so that's chapter 16. Now, after this terrible lack of faith, after Genesis 16, at which Abraham had been given the promise, but his faith wasn't quite strong enough, that he didn't believe that God, in his miraculous way, could bring it about, so instead they looked for their own way to bring it about, and that was not through Sarah, but through Hagar, through the slave woman. So instead then, after that, then chapter 17, God says, Abraham, I'm going to ask something of you. I want you to be circumcised. Okay, here's the covenant as it continues to be established. My big point here, and St. Paul will come back to this, is where did the covenant start? Genesis 12, just by an act of faith. Genesis 15, how did the covenant continue? Again, by an act of faith. But because Abraham had lost faith, because he had not held fast to that faith, Genesis 16, then we get Genesis 17, then we get circumcision. Now all of a sudden the law of circumcision has come in, and Abraham is told to do that. Does Abraham continue his faith? Verse 21, or chapter 21, Genesis 21. We now have the birth of Isaac, but now we have a conflict brewing, because Sarah has now actually given birth to Isaac, but Hagar has given birth to Ishmael. Ishmael is much, much older than Isaac is. And what happens again? Sarah is jealous again. He says, I'm not going to have my son, you know, the rightful heir, Isaac, be in some competition with this son of the slave woman, Ishmael. So cast them away, send them away. And this is actually a very grievous thing that Abraham does, because he sends away his son, born of the slave woman, he sends away Hagar and Ishmael, and he sends them out without giving them adequate supplies to get very far. They're about to die of thirst in the middle of the desert. And partway through Genesis 21, the Lord appears to Hagar and shows them where to find water, promises Hagar, who had been faithful and had done everything she had been asked to do, that God's blessing would be with Hagar and Ishmael, and that's the beginning of the Arab nations, according to the traditions that develop. But then after that, then after Abraham again breaks faith or shows a lack of faith by sending away, as though sending them off to die, basically, sending away Hagar and Ishmael, then Genesis 22, God says, okay, I ask circumcision of you, I'm going to ask one more thing of you. I want you to sacrifice your only son. And that's Genesis 22, the sacrifice of Isaac. Now, this actually is quite redemptive for Abraham, is that he accepts, and he does what God is asking of him to do. And if it wasn't for the fact that God sent the angel to intercede to prevent Abraham from striking with the knife, he would have done that. He had basically sent the son of the slave woman off to die. He was ready to sacrifice the son of the free woman, the son of Sarah. But then the Lord intervened, and because of that act of faith, because he acted on faith. He did what the Lord asked him to do, no matter what. Because of that act of faith, then he receives great blessings at the end of that. And we see the blessings that are promised to him in passages like Genesis 22, like verse 17. I will bless you abundantly. And again, make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and so forth. Okay, that's just a quick crash course in Abraham. Okay?